Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Blogcast. It's January 4, 2016, and this is episode 504. As has been my tradition now since 2007, I have taken some time over the past week to reflect on the images that I've made during 2015 and worked through the process of editing down my favourites to just 10 images. Today I'm going to share my thoughts on the process, as I believe that this is a valuable exercise for photographers to do each year. Developing the ability to whittle down a collection of images to a finite number is a skill that photographers all need to develop and maintain. If you haven't tried this yourself, you might think it's easy, but it really isn't. I often ask people to provide me with, say, 5 images, and the majority of the time, I get 10 or 20 back. In an informal situation, that's fine. I sometimes provide more images than I'm asked for, to give the other party options, but I only do this when I know that the other person will be okay with that. In a professional situation, if you're asked for 5 images and you provide 10, it shows a lack of discipline in your work. It also sends a message that you think that your time is more important than the person requesting the images. After all, if you don't spend the time required to get your selection to the required number, you're pushing this task onto the other person, and that's disrespectful. Generally, in a professional environment, if the person requesting the images wants options, they'll include that in the number that they request. They might ask for, say, 10 images, but only intend to use 5. Either way, develop the skill to provide the number requested. If you are going to do this top 10 style exercise yourself, I recommend that you set your number before you start. I like 10. Top 10 lists are popular and it just feels good. You could do more or less, but the most I would go with is 12, as that's like 1 per month, a dozen. It's another good number. If you go for a larger number than 12, you're being too easy on yourself and won't learn as much from the process. Another thing that I've done in the past is done multiple top 10s, one for nature and wildlife and another for people photography. But if I'm totally honest, that was just a cop-out on my part. It was probably too difficult to get my selection down, so I gave in to the temptation to increase my numbers. I won't be doing that this year, although if you do work in a number of totally different fields of photography, it could be an option. I just recommend that you set your goal before you start and stick to it. To start my selection process, I created a collection set simply numbered 2015 in Lightroom under my Top 10s collection set. Under that collection set, I created my first collection called First Pass and made it my target selection, which adds a plus symbol to the right of the collection name. With that set up, I navigated to the folder that contains all of my best work from 2015 and filtered out all of my 2-star images and lower because they are the originals of any photos that I've made a copy of. To work on them in Silver Effects Pro or Color Effects Pro or in Photoshop, etc. Anything that causes me to create a copy means that I also copy my original RAW file to my 2015 finals folder and mark it with 2 stars. So, showing 3 stars and above, I went through this folder hitting the B key on my keyboard for any image that I like enough to consider it for my 2015 top 10. The B key adds the selected image to the target collection which we just created and specified. Once I've gone through the entire folder, I'll create a second collection called Second Pass and repeat this process until I reach my final 10. As I went through the images for my first pass, I had a few feelings that I'd like to share with you, as I think that this is an important part of the learning process. I started making my decision by looking at the thumbnail view, which I found really easy to do for images that I've continuously gone back to through the year. But this didn't work so well for my wildlife work. I felt that to make my decision for my wildlife work, I had to go in and view the images at full size to feel the connection needed to add them to the first pass. There were a few favourites that I would have made, they'd have gone into the first pass just from the thumbnails, but I felt compelled to add more when viewing the wildlife images larger. What I noticed, though, was that even as I was adding some of these wildlife images, I knew that they wouldn't make the final cut. My thought process was, okay, so I really like this shot, and I'm going to add it for now to see a collection of all of my favorite work from 2015 as an initial starting point. If I was sitting down without a lot of time to select my 10 images, I would have been far less likely to add these images at this point. Which way you do this is totally up to you, of course. I feel as though at least adding them once is like giving them an honorable mention. I have 870 images in my 2015 finals folder, of which 693 are actual final images. The others are the original raw files for images that I've done something to. After my first pass, I ended up with 124 images in my collection. That's about 20 more than I can even show in a single screenshot from Lightroom. So I'll move on to the second pass. To start that process, I created a new collection called Second Pass, left all 124 images in there, and then started the process of removing the lesser images. This is where it starts to get difficult. I have a few sets of images from the same location, so at this point I start to select similar images and hit N to display just these images in survey view and flicking back and forth between them. Then press the delete key on my keyboard to start to remove the lesser of these subjects from my collection. I also removed a few of the honorable mention images to get down to 97, and these can be seen in the screenshot that I've attached to the blog or in the enhanced podcast, if you're viewing it in a way that actually enables you to see the images. If you need to go to the blog just to view these images, they are at mbp.ac/504. And open up your browser window as wide as possible and click on the images, because they're actually a lot larger than the embedded version. Okay, so I'm under 100, but I still have 87 images to remove from my selection. Time to start getting ruthless. The next thing I did was to select images of the same subject. For example, I have 5 snow monkey shots, and at the most, I'm going to have maybe 2 in my final selection. So I tried to take the knife to at least 3 of these images. The first 2 weren't so difficult, but with these 3 little monkeys that we've got, I'm displaying on the screen now, I had to defer the decision until later. I started to remove red-crowned cranes, white-tailed eagles, and whooper swans. I think that the reason that I had to look at my wildlife work full size is because of the eyes in the animals, but it was the same eyes that made it difficult to remove the wildlife shots once in the selection. Even when the eyes are closed, the feeling that I get from looking at animals makes this really tough. Of course, even more difficult was removing some of the photographs of the Himba people from Namibia. I had a real cultural exchange with these people, making it incredibly difficult to remove any of these photos that I'm displaying right now. I removed a few, but still ended up looking at this set and was stuck again. By the end of my third pass, I was down to 64 images, and by this time, I needed to take a break. This is hard. It's this screenshot that I'm showing you right now is where I was at the end of the third pass. Starting from the beginning of the collection again, I still have 8 photos from my January Hokkaido landscape adventure, so I went to work on them. The first 3 minimalist shots are all strong favourites, but I removed 2 of them, going for the lone tree on the hill, which has been a favourite since I shot these. The boat graveyard shot was definitely going to stay too, so I removed the other boat shot with the clouds radiating out. That left me with 3 tetrapod shots, which I really like, but I left only 1 of these with the sun's rays, as that's also remained a favourite. I then removed a few more eagle shots and removed 3 or 4 sky full of swans shots. Of the 2 fox photos, although I think the one of him just sitting there is a prettier photo, the one of him yawning is more unique, so I removed the first of the 2. I removed a white-tailed eagle shot and the black-eared kite shot, and then selected all of my crane shots with a mind to leave only 1, which I managed to do. Back in Namibia, I removed the Milky Way shot, which I like, but it's not brilliant, and then removed the single-point perspective shot of the room from Coleman-Scott, leaving the sausage boilers and slats for now. I knew that I would only leave 1 of the 2 camel thorn tree silhouette photos from Namibia, and because the first of the 2 was a retake of a 2013 image, I went with the new composition, which I actually prefer anyway, so that was easy enough. Of the 2 dune shots, I went for the less cluttered of the 2, but I'm still not sure that I'll leave the other one in. There's still a long way to go. I really like the pink pelican shot, but this is not my best work, so that's gone now too. And I have to say goodbye to the Himba lady dancing because I prefer the other 2 low-key images of these 3. I can't remove the goat herding shot. That's still a firm favourite. I removed 2 of the 3 desert elephant shots because they aren't that good either. But that left me with the 1 of the elephants walking into the distance, as I love the feel of that image. At this point, I still have 13 Namibia shots left in the selection, which is not good, but I'm going to go back to Iceland. I removed the shot of Gullfoss from the end of the gorge because it's a 5D SR reshoot, and as much as it hurts, I removed a few more of the Icelandic landscapes because I've got better images from previous years. The Icelandic horse shot also had to go. It's not that special. That's the end of the 4th pass though, and I'm still at 36 images. This is hard. I actually found the 5th pass a little easier because I know now that I still have to delete almost 3 out of 4 images. I have a specific number to work with now, and that's kind of liberating. It meant that I had to start to really sacrifice images that had made it this far in my process. I quickly cut a bunch of stuff, swans in flight, sausage boilers, slatted rooms. I got rid of the cave shot from Iceland. I kept the Landmannalaugar cotton grass reflection in as long as I could, but it just isn't as good as many of my other shots from that location, so that went too. It's a toss-up now between Skogarfoss and Seljalandsfoss waterfall shots, but in the end, I leave in the Skogafoss image because it's landscape as opposed to a portrait orientation, and therefore will look better on the blog. And that's my final thinking on that one, and this is a valid consideration. If I was selecting something for the cover of a magazine, I'd have gone with the portrait orientation image instead. I've still only removed 1 in 3 images, though, at the end of my 5th pass, so I decide to take another quick swing at it and get my Namibia images down to 5. 4 Iceland images left, and still 10 Japan shots left. By this time, I'm at 19 images, and it's the end of my business day. I will go downstairs for dinner now and try to pick this up again later. At this point, I'm actually happy to walk away from the process for a while to reset. Okay, so big pause there. I actually, after writing the last paragraph at 19 photos, I actually left this selection for 4 full days as I visited in-laws over the new year and came back to this on the evening of Sunday the 3rd of January. One of the best ways to finalize a selection like this is, in my mind, to take at least a day or a few when possible to let the shortlist sit. I was able to, within a few minutes, pick 11 of the 19 remaining images that I absolutely felt I had to include. And the last 2 were a toss-up, so I basically had to decide between my shot of the elephants walking into the distance and the blue glacial water flowing around the iceberg. My other 9 were set. I decided to go with the Himba girl and leave out the photo of the Himba man, as although I love both of these photos, I don't have room for 2 of these, and I feel that the little girl photo is the stronger of the 2, with a richer sense of culture. I also decided that I could live without another red crown craned and eagle shot, as these have dominated my top 10s over the years. I still totally enjoy making these photographs, but for now, I need something a little bit more special to make what is to me a pretty important selection of images. I also decided to drop the tetrapod image and keep the boat graveyard image because, again, I think the latter is a stronger image, although I really do like both. I've had a shot of Skogafoss in my top 10 a few years ago, and the 2015 version doesn't really do any more for me, so I dropped that too. Also, although I like the church shot, there is a definite aspect of been there, done that, so I dropped that as well. I've also had monkey face close-up shots, so I dropped the adult monkey in favour of the 6-week-old baby because it's fresh work for me, as I visited the snow monkeys in the summer for the first time in 2015. This was a tough choice, though, as I find the strong human-like expression on the thoughtful adult monkey's face hard to resist. Finally, the bright and vibrant green shot of the pond from Fukushima has been a favourite throughout the year, but I feel that the misty tree and pond shot is a better image and closer to my overall style than the first pond shot, so I went with the atmospheric misty shot. I was back to my decision as to whether or not to leave the elephant shot in or go with the glacial flow and ice shot. I love the story behind the elephant shot, but I think that the glacial flow shot is closer to my style and perhaps a prettier photo, so I'm going to go with that. For my final selection of 10 from my 19 image shortlist, I used the P button to add pick flags to my images and then hit the U key to unflag the elephant shot after making my decision, leaving with 10 images. If it's important to keep a record of the selection after each pass, you can just right-click and duplicate, select Duplicate Collection, or create a new collection and drag your images to it, and then just repeat this each time you want to make a new pass. I honestly find it really sad to remove any photo from these selections, but as difficult as this process can be, I really do think it's an important process for a photographer to undertake at least once a year to help us to become better editors of our work. And by editing, I don't mean modifying the individual image. I mean the act of editing down a selection to a finite number. As I mentioned earlier, I think photographers seem to find this difficult, but in some situations, it is a necessary skill that I think we should practice as often as we can, so that when we're asked for a selection of images for any reason, we can go through the process relatively quickly when necessary. And when time allows as well, it's pretty much always going to help you to be more objective about your final selection if you can step away from the process for a day or more as you reach your last few passes. If you don't use Lightroom, you will of course need to figure out a way to actually select images and whittle them down. I haven't used any other tools for so long now that I can't offer any advice other than to make it simple. If the process gets in the way or becomes a pain to manage, you need to look for a better process. Next week, I'll share the actual top 10 images that I was left with, one by one, along with a little bit of information about each image. I'll also talk about how beneficial it is to keep these collections to enable us to view our progress over the years. If you've stuck with me this far today, I hope that this has been of some use for you to go through the process with me. And if you do this too, remember that it's important to stick to a number, be it 5, 10 or 12, once you've decided a number to shoot for. Don't allow your emotional attachment to the images to force you to increase that number. If you do that, you've failed to learn from the process. It's supposed to be hard. That's why it makes us better photographers. And of course, as usual, if you do post your selection of images anywhere, drop a link into the comments for this post. I know that many of you go through this process, and I love seeing how you're progressing as photographers, and even if it's your first time, let me know. And include a note on what you learned from the process too, if anything. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. And if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.